A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Paul George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Welcome into the show. Astros victory last night. The offense came alive.
Ye of little faith. Joe George, a man who questioned the greatness of Alex Bregman.
Did I question him or did I motivate him?
That is up for debate.
Like,
713-780-3776.
Am I the reason why? This is like a Jeremy Branham thing here. Am I the reason why Alex Bregman was great yesterday? That's what the people are saying.
Well, maybe you got to pursue a career in coaching on the side.
Just tell people they suck? Because that's pretty much what I was doing.
Hey, Alex Bregman, you're too impatient. I have no idea what you're seeing at the plate. Swing it more stuff. He swung it more stuff, though.
He did. It was a good win yesterday. Yesterday was one of the first times I've ever watched a sporting event and just genuinely felt bad for someone.
Oh, poor fella.
I felt bad for
Say his
Blair
name.
Henley. I felt bad for this guy.
I did too.
And it got worse when I did not see that at one point McTaggart had tweeted out that his family lived in the area.
Oh.
So they were at the game. So when you sent that to our group chat, I just was like, oh my. Like, I felt so bad for this kid.
To compare to a recent personal experience, when I opened for Donnell Rawlings at the Houston Improv, and no one laughed. One of my friends, she got a table with some of my other friends, and they sat there to watch it. And I was so crestfallen after, because I don't know why I thought I was going to crush it. But I remember afterwards, they were all like, oh, you did a really good job. You got such big balls. And I'm like, I want to die. I want to die. Because everyone's going to be nice to him and pat him on the back. But you have to imagine that at least one of the parents was thinking, as he gets absolutely rocked in an impossible no-win situation.
Yeah.
You got to imagine one of the parents is like, all right, well, we might need to look at another career option for our beautiful boy.
Yeah.
You might need to look at other things. I hope this is not the last that we see of him. That is just a terrible way to make your major league debut.
Yeah.
Sean's laughing hysterically behind the glass.
I mean, it's so bad.
It's bad. I wonder if his parents stayed the entire game. I guess
they have to.
I mean, he only got one out, so they could have left.
Yeah, they had all night. Someone tweeted out that, like, you know, Blair Henley doesn't have it too bad. He gets to watch an MLB game. He gets to watch 8 2/3 of an inning of an MLB game from the dugout. And that's kind of what his parents got. They got the MLB experience at beautiful Globe Life Field in Arlington. And it makes it so much better. By the way, it makes it so much better that the Astros won.
Oh, thank God.
This would sound like a funeral if they didn't win.
Oh, it was a funeral. Watching the start of that game, I was like, this is bad. This is so bad.
Well, you felt good because the offense got going early. So you at least thought to yourself, okay, hey, they're getting some runs the first inning. They're pushing Heaney. And then, I mean, it was 5 runs before they got down.
So yesterday was the
poor bastard.
Seth Martinez kind of, you know, leads the way here. This was the most scoreless innings the Astros bullpen has thrown in a 9-inning game since July 18th, 1974.
Damn.
At Philadelphia. I mean, they went 8 2/3, which, like, I guess technically you could give no outs.
Yeah, they could literally – they can't go any longer.
Yeah. Now, I don't remember. When were you in Seattle?
I was there for the 2020 and 2021 Mariners season.
So you probably don't remember this then. Sean, I'm guessing you will. It reminded me a little bit of in 2021, it was in April, Luis Garcia got hurt, I believe it was, after one out. And this kid came in who we had no idea who he was, Kent Emanuel, and he pitched 8 2/3 innings. He pitched the rest of the game. He gave up 2 earned runs, but he pitched the rest of the game for the Astros that day. I was trying to remember.
Where is he now?
He's out of the league, I think. But like he goes 8 2/3, makes one more start for one more relief appearance for the Astros, then got DFA'd at that point. But he had this miraculous bullpen performance, and then yesterday topped it. But sorry, Blair. Tough.
Kent Emanuel is now in AAA for the Marlins.
Okay.
But the Astros did have his back. Let's not beat up on him a little too much. I think everybody should be in agreement. You feel bad for Blair Henly, and you're hoping that he's able to shake this off.
Yeah,
it's
but
just
like,
a rough way
it
to
is.
Make your debut.
And then, like, I'm sorry to laugh, but from the 713, a few years from now, Henly will be able to tell his coworkers at the real estate agency that he was an undefeated MLB pitcher. Fact. No losses.
No losses, despite giving up 5 runs and getting 1 out.
0-0 all time.
What is it? His ERA for the game?
135.
Let's do a little math. Yep, 135. That's not what you were looking for.
0-0. A team.
Hey, you know what?
He's a team before me, guy.
You know what he is? If he's a smart guy, he's going to be like, you know all those friends who like talk about their, I don't know, Paul, their high school football accomplishments that like really mean nothing? Blair Henly can now go to his friends and be like, hey, I have no losses, and I have a 135 ERA.
Do we know who he got out?
No. Yeah, Marcus,
that guy sucks.
Marcus Semien?
Yeah, because then he can go, hey, I got Marcus Semien out at a Major League Baseball game.
But if he got out Knizer.
That's a tough one to brag about.
It is. But like if he just
Ian
says,
Kinsler. Let's just lie and call him Ian Kinsler.
Yeah. But if he just says, I have a 135 ERA and just makes it sound like he forgets the decimal point.
here's what we do it.
Sounds
that
great. Works.
That's a good solution.
That's a good way of like lying on your resume.
Yeah, like I have a 135 ERA.
If he has any sense of humor, he could do that and then say 135. But what he should do, this is the heart of flex. Stats are for losers. The final score is for winners.
Fair.
The final score is for winners.
Scoreboard.
Astros won. His first career start. Did he help them? No. But hey.
Got one out.
He got one
Limited the damage to only 5 runs.
Oh, man. All right. So, but then the rest of the game was very good.
Offense, this is something that they are capable of on a semi-regular basis, Joe. And you saw it with a 3-hit performance by Yordan Alvarez, a 3-hit performance by Kyle Tucker. They were 4-for-7 with runners in scoring position. Looked like it was going to be another rough day with runners in scoring position when Jeremy Pena barely beat out that double play to get the second run across in the first inning. But they have the bats to do this with Jose Abreu or without Jose Abreu on a regular basis. And hell, even Victor Caratini had a nice night with the 3-run homer himself.
I like Victor Caratini. I mean, he's not the solution at first base, but he's an upgrade at first base, maybe. And do what you did the other day. Just start him at first. He started less than 70 games at first base in his career, so he does not have a lengthy history of being a first baseman, but he has reps there, at least. You know, we talked about this yesterday with Yiner Diaz, that Yiner Diaz, as much as you want him to be a first baseman, I think it was King who suggested it, it's a great suggestion, but it's just like Yordan Alvarez, where everyone wants it, but then the Astros just won't do it. So you have this gaping hole at first base, but it's funny to look at the Astros' 4 wins this year. 3 of the games, they have over 8 runs. So when the offense is there, most of the time, it really shows up. It's the other games where it's infuriating that they just leave all these guys on base because you know they are so much more capable than they are. And last night's just another great example of that.
They've won 3 games, 10-0, 8-0, and 10-5. The other 8 games they've played, they've been outscored 41-19.
Yikes.
Which is why they're 22nd, at least going into Monday. I'm sure that they've risen the rankings. They were 22nd in runs scored and dead last in bullpen ERA going into the game. My question to you, Joe, how often can they do this? Because I believe that this lineup is capable of approaching 8 runs twice a week. With the amount of bats that they have, if Jeremy Pena seems to be taking the step forward that we see him doing right now, and if you can put in Mauricio Dubon occasionally, if Jake Myers is up to a better start than I would have expected, I look at this lineup I know that all of these guys are capable of hitting at a major league level, and I'm not demanding that they score 8 runs a game. That's unrealistic, but I feel like they are capable of doing this at least twice a week, and that there should be a lot fewer games where we're looking at 2 runs, 3 runs. And look, it's baseball. Ultimately, at the end of the year, we're probably going to be looking at the Astros being top 5 in runs scored, but this is just proof that they can be more consistent.
Mm-hmm. It's more about a balance, right, that you're looking for? Maybe asking for them to score 5 runs on a consistent basis.
5 runs is almost what I feel like should be the minimum expectation. We are cake eater crowd here. Those who follow the Houston Astros even brought me aboard the bandwagon. I am a bandwagon Astros fan. I'll admit it. I don't care. You know, if you've moved here, you should do the same thing. Follow suit. But I have needs. I have expectations. I have taste the good life, the high life. I've hung out with my rich friends. And now, despite being, you know, not a very wealthy man, I expect to continue to live that life.
I mean, last year, the Astros averaged 5.1 calculator runs per game. So they had...
I love that you do the calculator now because you're so paranoid about your math.
They scored 827 runs last year in 162 games. Now, I guess that doesn't even account for unearned runs, I would guess. So maybe technically it's a little bit more than that. But so that's 5 runs per game last year. This lineup is already, just looking at it, Bregman aside and what he's done, Jose Abreu aside, because it's probably not going to get much better, but with Yiner Diaz, with Jeremy Pena, the contributions you got from Jake Myers early on, the offense is going to be better. So they just need to find the balance. Like that's what the Astros need. Offense needs to find
a balance. What is find the balance, though? Because that does seem, it's this. In principle, it sounds good.
No, you're right.
I guess I'm wondering, because obviously they're going to have bad nights. Everyone
score more
bad
than
nights.
So you want them to score? You think they can score more than 8 runs twice a week?
Yep, I want 8 runs twice a week, and I want an average of 5 runs a game.
Yeah, so I would say, you know, to get there, score 4 runs plus in total, 4 times a week, yeah. 5 times a week.
So if you do this, the leverage on your bullpen's less, the leverage on your starting pitching going deep into games is less. Like it. It all starts with the offense for where the Astros are right now.
Yeah.
And do this more often.
Just please.
This honestly is not that much of an ask.
Yeah, it's really not. So Astros win last night. Great way to split the series with the Rangers. After the news that Framber Valdez was scratched, he is back in Houston. He is meeting with the team doctors. They said they were not going to rush to judgment. They described his injury as medium pain. So we might get an update as early as today.
What do you think they were doing with Frober when they got medium pain? You know how they have those pain charts at the hospital?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
1 through 10, and there's a smiley face next to each of it.
But they change, like, one's a yellow and the one on the end is red for, like, anger.
Right, but also, like, the mouth is, like, slowly, like, getting bigger and just changing in shape. Like, for a 5, it's like... Yes. you look very interesting there.
Just different emojis.
Yeah.
Right, because obviously, I mean, look, Framber speaks through a translator for the most part. So what? Is Framber making a face after the translator asks him the question?
Oh,
the
no.
The translator has to decipher what's being on his face?
One out of 10. And 5.
4.5 million in gambling debt.
I would assume that
3.
A 5 out of 10 is medium pain, I would assume. Just, you know, just taking a guess.
4 to 6.
Yeah, 4 to, that's fair.
4 to 6 is medium pain.
So, well, it's wait and see right now with Framber Valdez and the Houston Astros. But the positive news is that Justin Verlander is going to make a bullpen start or bullpen session this week. Likely one more start this weekend. My guess is it'll be for Corpus Christi because they're up in Frisco. That's the closest game this week for the minor league team. So maybe, you know, a lot of people are guessing April 19th. As the targeted date for Justin Verlander. So just as a guess, so even if things are bad for Framber, you know, maybe you're close to getting Justin Verlander back, which is nice.
It is nice, but everything that I see with the Astros and injuries, I take with essentially like an entire canister of Morton salt. I mean, you really can't buy anything that these people push on you.
Yeah. All right, question of the day. Did the Astros do enough this offseason with their rotation, which is the pitching in general, not just the rotation, the bullpen? Because Your bullpen was reliant on your starters getting healthy, it seemed like, and that's going in the opposite direction. So we'll get to that more in the Farmer Ball, those, in last night's game next year on Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Eric the Driver says here on the text line, he got more outs in MLB game than 99% of all humans that have ever lived, period. Great point, Eric. Another positive for Blair last night. King said I'm being mean. I'm being too mean to this guy.
I mean, what can you do other than say he was a deer lost in the headlights and you feel bad for him? Who doesn't feel bad for him today?
And you know, I
some other minor league pitcher on the same roster as him that's like, it should have been my chance. Yeah. I wouldn't have given up.
I would have gotten two outs. Yeah,
And for those people, because they were out about, I saw Chandler Rome just going back and forth with people all day yesterday for this nonsense. The reason why he was the pitcher was because he was scheduled to pitch today for the Space Cowboys, and Arrigetti pitched on Thursday. Belak threw like 63 pitches the other day. Dubin is just starting his rehab start with AAA. So they really – this was a last-minute kind of emergency situation. So that's he wasn't chosen by Joe Espada and Dana Brown.
Well,
they were kind of forced into this.
Hang on, though, because did you see what Joe Espada said at that emergency press conference at 4:45?
Oh, no, I did not.
I mean, this quote is, man, does not age well. I'm not listening to anything Joe Espada says for at least a week. Quote, on Blair, I think his stuff will play well against this lineup. Yeah. I think he throws strikes. His sinker and sweeper are two pitches that could be effective against this lineup. We're looking for him to compete and give us a chance to win. And I think he can do that. All Joe should have said is we're looking for him to compete and give us a chance to win.
He gave him a chance. They won.
I get that Joe's not supposed to say.
Mission accomplished.
Shut up. I get that Joe's not supposed to say, well, I mean, let's see. To give a little more confidence in him than that.
Well, that's what Dusty Baker would have said. Dusty Baker, like.
Yes, Dusty would have.
Dusty Baker would have been like, well, I don't know much about this kid, so we'll see what happens.
Yes, he didn't even know who was starting for him when he was managing the American League at the All-Star game. So, of course, he would know who the hell this guy is.
Yeah.
But I would respect the honesty as opposed to this politician peddling.
Blair,
by
I'm
Espada.
So sorry. Blair, I'm sorry. If you're listening.
We're not going after Blair. I'm going after Espada. Espada, dude, come on. You knew that this was an uphill battle. This is one of the best lineups in baseball, and they've had a lot of success against the Astros the last couple of games. What are you talking about saying, yeah, I think his stuff will play well against this lineup? The guy had never pitched above AA. What are you talking about, Joe Espada?
I know. I feel like I was getting yelled at there for a second, like indirectly.
What are you talking about,
I was
Joe?
Like, damn, I'm catching some heat for this. It's not my decision. I just influence Alex Bregman, okay? I don't influence Blair Henley. No,
that's
offense, Blair.
That's where you're pointed at.
Yeah.
And Fuentes Respector says, whoever kept showing the family deserves to be fired. A lot of that at Space City Home Network yesterday, by the way. Going to the commercial break three times in the middle of action in a game?
Yeah, they had a tough day. To say the least. All right, let's go to the phone. 713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line. Matt has a suggestion for first base. Matt, what's going on?
Yeah, guys. So I wanted to call about Jose Abreu. Obviously, as far as the lineup goes, that's the gaping hole that we all see. And I just got to say, man, his at-bats are getting more difficult to watch. It seems like by the game, you know, last year it was he couldn't hit 95 plus, and then, you know, last night we're watching him get blown up by 90. And I think the answer is out there, and I'm kind of surprised that Brandon Belt's name has not come up more. I know he's an older guy. He hasn't been signed, which is a little concerning, But just last year, this is a guy that had a 370 on base percentage. He hit 19 homers, 850 OPS plus guy. You can't tell me that wouldn't be an instant upgrade over what you're getting from both Singleton and Abreu. And if I'm Dana Brown and if I'm Espada, you know, bring Belt in. I can't imagine he would cost that much on a one-year flyer. Cut Singleton, let Belt hit against the righties, and I would play Abreu against the lefties and see if you can get some production. But I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Matt. Matt, that, I think that sounds like a great idea.
All ideas should be explored.
Yes.
At
yes.
this point, you can't take anything off of the table. So
anything and everything.
And I think I was yelling about what Joe Espada is telling us publicly just a moment ago, but I think to Joe Espada's credit, he has shown that he is more willing to make changes quickly than Dusty Baker was. So stands the reason that that could be something they try.
Mm-hmm. That, like Brandon Belt, Lo Profito, who's coming up here on the text line and the Twitch, playing Singleton just more often?
I don't know about that one. Singleton's a zero in that spot, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
Caratini more.
I honestly don't understand why they feel the way that they feel about Singleton, because it does feel like Singleton, who's not the most athletic guy either, is legitimately somebody you put in there to stand in against pitchers who don't have great control,
mm-hmm.
because you're hoping that he can draw a walk like he drew in the ALCS before that Game 5 home run by Altuve. And, I mean, you bring in somebody in to stand in there like they're a pitcher in interleague play from the American League. I remember one time Pedro Martinez was at bat, and he was wearing his pitching jacket.
Mm-hmm.
At the plate. Now, I'm not saying Singleton's quite that, because you know when he hits it, I mean, it could go far, but he doesn't generally put it in play.
King of Twitch brings up CJ Cron. He did elect free agency. He was in spring training with the Red Sox and then elected free agency before opening day, so he's another option.
Yes. Like, you could tell me anyone. Joe, you could make up a name. I'll say yes.
And then the text line brings up Mauricio Dubon, who explore it. Like, you're right. Explore anything and everything.
I never yesterday.
This isn't going to work. It's the one part of watching the Astros right now where I just, it seems unfixable. And maybe that's unfair to Jose Abreu, but last year we got sold this bill of nonsense that it was a back injury. And that seemed to hold true, right? He led the American League in RBIs the last month of the season before the playoffs. So, like, there was a bright spot. There was moments of Jose Abreu. You're like, okay, like, we're back on track. But it's to the point now where it's a bigger hole in your lineup than Martin Maldonado was in your lineup. That's how I feel about watching Jose Abreu at the plate.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
And like that's
at least Maldonado.
That sounds impossible.
At least with Maldonado, you had in the back of your mind whether this is some sort of placebo effect from the things that Dusty Baker and his teammates said. You always had this feeling, well, the defense, even though he was, you know, not throwing guys out at second base,
led the league in pass ball.
Right.
That, two main things of catcher.
But there was always a subconscious, well, there's something extra element with Maldi. With Abreu, like, what are we talking about here?
The extra element with Maldonado was that because he has a reputation as such a bad hitter that you could just hit him ninth, whereas Jose Abreu won the 2020 MVP, and so he can't just hit ninth. Like, it would take months of this for him to drop all the way down to nine. You kind of have to hit him, like, sixth or seventh because, like, hey, listen, it's Jose Abreu, you know? At least Maldonado got the lack of respect of, like, you'll just hit the least amount of anyone in the lineup.
Desert Stroh on YouTube.
Oh, that's true.
Desert Stroh on YouTube. Doobie can do it all, give him first base. On Twitch, this one's not nice. Grinding on Coffee and Whiskey says put Gilbert at first base. No, Gilbert.
Drew Gilbert?
No. We're talking about Gilbert, the regular caller of the John and Lance radio program.
Yeah.
Mainstay in Houston Sports Talk Radio. I feel like that's his lane. That is very mean to suggest that he would do better than Jose Abreu.
If he just stands there, he might have a better chance to just get walked.
That's what John Singleton's here for.
2-8 from the 2-8-1. I hate having Dubon waste away on the bench. Dude's got a gold glove. He can figure out first base. I do agree. The only thing bone I would pick with Joe's spot at this point was I don't love the playing time for Mauricio Dubon. I'd like to see that increase a little bit. Maybe over the stretch of games where they're playing 13 straight.
I'm 100% in agreement with you on that.
It'll increase, but I thought we'd see a little bit more Dubon early in the season. And first base would be one that
he's a gold glove super utility guy. Like, I mean, he can't do it. Is he too small? I mean, that, I guess, is theoretically the reason he hasn't done it. It's difficult to scoop.
Well, okay, would you trade... Jose Abreu has some good defensive moments, but we know it's not great.
He's the reason the Ronel Blanco no-hitter happened.
Yeah.
He's fine. Like he's a fine defense.
But
like,
he's not Yuli.
But he cost you one of the Yankees games because he just didn't play good defense. So let's say Mauricio Dubon is even just a little bit worse. Would you trade a little bit worse defense at first base for Mauricio Dubon's bat?
Yes.
I don't even know how it's a question because the bat's so bad.
Right. It's not like we're talking about whenever David Ortiz occasionally played first base for the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Which was always a bit of an adventure either. But with Ortiz, obviously, you're talking about one of the best hitters, best designated hitters ever. So with Dubon, it's a better option, and you may as well try it. I really think that the question, Joe, is how long will it take for Joe Espada to realize that he's not getting enough out of Abreu. There has to be an element of patience here. I see some people suggesting DFAing Abreu. No owner is going to green like that.
Yeah, I brought it up a little bit yesterday.
But no owner's going to green like that.
Especially the owner who was acting as the GM when, and one of his two moves was signing this guy.
Yeah.
Like, you have to convince Jim Crane to say, you're signing. I mean, honestly, like... In that time frame without a GM, it was Jose Abreu and Rafael Montero. It's not exactly groundbreaking to say probably the two worst contracts that they've given out was in that 2 months that they didn't have a GM.
Dude, I would even call Brantley. I'm not even kidding.
Nah.
A retired guy who's never played first? let's at least give Dubon a couple – 2 days a week, Dubon.
They clearly don't want to. But to your point, I don't think they're going to bench Abreu without cutting him.
How about we cut something else?
I don't know.
How about we cut the chin thing?
Nah.
No. Like, baseball players are superstitious. Cut the chin thing.
So maybe
– no one likes the chin.
Just a little ponytail part, right? He can still have a goatee.
I'm not saying like grab it like the son of Ken Watanabe's character in The Last Samurai. I'm not saying like pull it off like just dishonor him by removing his top knot. Sean Mavis knows what top knot lifestyle
it's
is.
It's very dishonoring.
Very dishonoring, but
commit seppuku after somebody does that. Like Shogun.
I just something's got to be done if we're not gonna get Abreu off the field,
at least
encourage him to get rid of it. It's not a good look. He's not playing well, and that is I'm sorry. That's not a good look to have Jafar's beard from Aladdin.
That's a good.
It's reference. A better. It's a better
That's
look.
A
so pointy and twisted.
That's a good pull. Paul.
It's a better look if he's hitting 290. I'll say that.
If he's hitting 290, he's a culture changer.
whatever facial hair you want.
If he's hitting 290, he doesn't even have to wear any of the buttons on his jersey buttons.
If Jose Abreu gets above 260 this year, I'll grow one. I'm not even kidding.
Maybe it's the new Fanatics.
If Jose Abreu at some point gets his batting average above 260 this season.
Do you think you could do that?
I don't know, but I'll try.
You've got some strong facial hair.
Yeah, I'll try. If he gets above 260 this year, I will pull the Jose Abreu.
That might need to be something I fall on the sword for. You have a wife and a family. You know, I don't want that. I'm by myself. I can be the hero that the Gallant and George show.
Well, you already have the, dude, you already are the hero that we need because you had to get two cats because they didn't make the play-in tournament.
I'm not doing that. Arya will kill them.
Jose Reyes hit over 260 every year of his career before last year.
That's why I feel okay about this.
Is it the Fanatics jerseys? Because, I mean, you know.
They're so bad.
Well, because, right, because, like, remember.
Too breathable.
Now, I haven't noticed if he's been unbuttoning the jersey the same way that he was last year. But, I mean, maybe it's the new jersey. Mm-hmm. I'm throwing out all the possible excuses, man, okay?
We need this. We need some answer. all right, what did we miss this weekend? Bunch of stuff. Obviously, NCAA tournament championship was won last night by UConn. We'll get into it in case you missed it. Next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 this morning, I was over at OU Athletic working out with my guy Cam for a personal training session. He put me through the ringer in an arm workout today, but it was another good day, another check mark, a box to check in the progress we're trying to make in 2024 for me while I lose some weight. Over 100 classes you can take per week, whether it's before work or after work. They start as early as 5:30 in the morning, but they pick right back up. If you can get out of work at 4 o'clock, they'll be ready for you then as well. You can get personal training like I'm doing. You can just work out by yourself like I'll do a lot of days. So when you want to get healthy this year, put on some muscle, get lean, whatever your goals are in 2024, OU Athletic is the place for you. 767 North Shepherd. Check them out at OUathletic.com. And when you sign up, let them know Joe George sent you by.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
Doesn't ring the bell. Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not.
And now, in case you missed it, with Gallant and George.
So much to get into. Things we missed over the weekend and today so far even. Juwan Roberts, LJ Cryer, back for our beloved Cougs.
Hell yes!
Draft talk. The Houston Texans get 30 visits from prospects.
Okay. Anybody float your boat?
Just a surprise. Maybe a backup quarterback. Spencer Rattler. Visiting with the Texans today just caught my attention.
The Spencer Rattler? Yeah,
just caught my attention. Like
South Carolina legend.
Yeah.
Backup quarterback.
I'm just like, okay. I guess Nick Caserio.
Hey, gotta do your due diligence.
I guess so.
What if this guy's Tom Brady? You know?
That's true.
He was a fifth round pick, sixth round pick.
Drew Bledsoe was once the first overall pick. C.J. Stroud's second overall pick.
Somebody's easily replaced.
C.J. Stroud is Drew Bledsoe.
Hey, team game.
What does the NFL stand for?
Not for long.
There you go.
Not for effing long.
That's a good point.
In FF.
Last night, UConn won the national championship. They're so good.
Did you even feel the need to watch that game?
No.
I felt going into it, and this is a huge credit to UConn, but I thought there's no way Purdue wins this one. And as they have all tournament long, where they outscored teams by a record 140 points, this thing was over at halftime, it felt like.
Yeah, even though it was, a six-point game? But yeah, because the UConn was -4 in the first half, and that shot at the end got them the cover. So they won by six in the first half, but then they ran away with it.
Purdue's just, it's all Edey, and it's so slow. And you thought to yourself, oh, how the hell, once it became a big lead, like they don't play with the pace to come back from down 8 points.
One of my friends, this was his first Purdue watching experience, and he was like, wait, how's... How is Zach Edey like a thing? How is he he's not going to be an NBA player, is he? I was like, probably not. It's tough to imagine just watching him run up and down the court, imagining him on the same court as like even Jalen Green. Like where you're just like, how would he get back in time at all? In time for the 24-second shot clock?
Let's see. Right now, Zach Edey is projected to be, according to CBS Sports, be the 22nd pick in the NBA draft.
That's not bad.
This year.
That's not bad.
So,
it's better than Bronny James Jr.
Yeah, second rounder.
Sure.
Maybe future Houston Cougar.
Whoa.
More likely to be a Houston Cougar or be a first round pick.
Houston
Bronny
Rockets.
More likely to be a Rocket or a Coug.
I'd welcome him aboard the Cougs.
I think that would do a lot of good. He plays great defense.
Yeah, I was gonna say, everyone says he's great.
I mean,
yeah.
scrawny masterpiece kid. Like, we're gonna be
You'd be great eighth man.
Like, dude, like we're gonna be bumping at Fertitta Center next year. It's gonna be great.
The Nepo Cougars.
Yeah.
Okay.
Iowa lost. Caitlin Clark was very good again, but Iowa lost this weekend, 87-75 to South Carolina, and not really much about the final four games and the championship game felt once again much about basketball. That's where this sport, women's basketball, like the ratings are insane.
The ratings are insane. I think we have to pause a little bit expecting this to translate to the WNBA when Caitlin Clark goes. I guess the Indiana Fever and Las Vegas Aces game to open the year. They're already announcing they're moving it to a bigger arena than the Aces typically play in. But I think we got to put the pause on that a little bit. And there is a part of me, Joe, that likes that South Carolina won because I like it when the team beats the individual. And nothing against Caitlin Clark. Her teammates are nowhere near as good as the players on South Carolina from the very limited action I watched of that natty.
Yeah, it was. And like obviously there's the moving screen in the UConn game. To me, it seemed pretty blatant that it was a moving screen. And just the more and more camera angles you saw, like there was an overhead shot that they showed, it seemed to be even more clear. But that was the drama around that one.
The moving screen is kind of like holding, where it's like there's a moving screen.
Every play.
Not every play, but there's a lot of moving screens that just go completely uncalled.
But that was definitely a moving screen. Yes. And I hate that we now have entered this realm in all sports where if a call happens that disrupts the ending of a game from being storybook, we act like this is a tremendous crime upon the game.
Mm-hmm.
You can go back to the Eagles, Chiefs, end of the Super Bowl. It was holding.
Yeah,
the player who committed the hold even admitted it. It sucked that it ruined the game, but we don't need to go and change overtime like the crybaby Bills needed to after mm-hmm. they lost that game to the Chiefs. But that was actual conversation online, despite video evidence saying this was definitely a moving screen.
Yeah, it's why'd you call it there?
Well, yeah.
She threw an elbow, man.
I mean, all it is just, like, Paul, you're right. It's like just people are upset that the game, like, they don't get a satisfactory ending.
Mm-hmm.
And so that turns into it was a bad call, where it's like, no, you're just upset that the call was made. It's not actually a bad call. It's a bad thing that happened to you on this, whatever, Friday night.
Yeah, like, right.
Sorry.
I mean, and Paige, I can't remember her last name, from UConn, she said basketball's not down to one play. It's not. It's not one play that costs you the game. The Caitlin Clark conversation is interesting. Seems very divided.
Yeah, speaking of, Paige, I think Bukers, Diana Taurasi was asked point blank, hey, who would you take between Caitlin Clark and Paige with the first overall pick? Here is what Diana had to say on the alternative broadcast of the Natty.
DMC, you have to build a WNBA team. Who are you taking first? Paige or Caitlin? Wow. I have an answer. I'm going to go?
You go.
I think you have to take Caitlin for one reason. Because I think they're so... You can't go wrong with choosing either one.
Right.
The fan energy behind Caitlin is going to be a game changer for a WNBA franchise. That's I think for that reason, right now, this year, you have to take her. From
Diana.
A basketball standpoint, I can make an argument for Paige.
I'm taking Paige. Next question.
So if you had the number one pick this year, you would take Paige over Caitlin?
Absolutely.
I like that energy.
Yeah, I'd like an explanation of what your take is.
I actually don't like that energy because it seems to be bitter, vindictive, jealous energy. And look, we see this with the old heads in the NBA versus the new players in the NBA.
It's but happened big
this
time
is
her.
This is 100 women supporting women, which they don't actually do because let's be honest, most women hate each other. No offense, ladies out there, you know it's true. You
okay.
guys go through 7 best friends over the course of your life. It's a thing, and I don't know if we have time, Joe, to play this, but you had Lynette Woodard, who said her scoring record isn't broken.
Oh. Yeah.
It was weird. The knives were out for Caitlin Clark, and it was like, yo, she's helping the game out. The ratings are showing it. Why are you guys so mad at her?
At least Diana Taurasi, like, I get it, because they were literally, if this was, like, a bigger sport, you can still tell that this women's basketball is, like, not equipped for the alternate broadcast was Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi. two UConn legends calling a UConn Iowa game.
Like, I would imagine,
so, like
this...
of course they're going to be like, you know what? I think the Iowa girl is better, or I think the UConn girl is better. Like, especially Diane Taurasi, who's also like probably one of the greatest players of all time.
Also,
to be
UConn.
Like, what?
Also, UConn.
Yeah, I mean, UConn, one of the greatest players of all time. Hey, how about this girl who's playing UConn right now, who people are already putting as the greatest of all time? What do you think?
Probably.
Yeah, like, it's like if Herb Street was talking, you know, Bryce Young versus CJ Stroud. He's taking. He's taking CJ because Ohio State.
Or it's like, but if you're asking like Michael Jordan about LeBron James, who is playing against a UNC player in the Final Four, and he's like, well, I'm going to go with the UNC guy. It's like, yeah, no bleep, dude.
Yeah. Coach Cal seems to be leaving Kentucky. A lot of college basketball news going on.
Did you see someone confronted him in, I'm assuming, his gated community trying to get the interview? Hey, Coach, Coach.
He was, like, walking his dog, but he had, like, a stroller.
I would say, walking.
Coach, why are you leaving,
like,
Coach?
He's pushing his dog.
Well, no, I saw another one where there was a dog walking. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what his... It was a very small dog, the kind that does get pushed in a stroller a lot.
There's this lady in my neighborhood. She's got two small dogs. And every time she walks by the house, I just laugh. I'm like, if your dogs are that small that you have to push them in a stroller like a child, they're too small.
Purse dog. It's a purse dog.
Yeah.
But they can get emotional support status for them. Yeah, it's also funny, too, Joe, just with the Kentucky job opening, immediately, Dan Hurley, after winning a back-to-back national title. Hey, Dan, you going to take the Kentucky job? I think Kentucky has a lot of reflection to do about the amount of pressure that they are putting on the coaches, considering the success Calipari had there for the next guy. Because I guess Billy Donovan is potentially a target.
Good.
But... look,
see ya, buddy.
He's the head coach of the Bulls. He's the head coach of the Bulls. He's not doing a good job.
He's a mediocre coach.
Do you think it's his fault that the Bulls are where they're at?
No.
Okay.
It's not, but he's just not a good NBA coach.
Gotcha.
Jay Wright, I'll call my shot. Comes out of retirement.
I don't know, man.
He said on the like pregame show that he's not interested.
Yeah, I don't believe him.
Okay.
What about the Big Cat put this take out?
Yeah.
Arkansas wins a championship. I mean, Kentucky wins a championship before Cal does at Arkansas.
Yeah, of course.
Is this Jimbo Fisher for basketball? Is this the Jimbo Fisher hire?
That's a good comparison. I mean, John Calipari, he has one championship at Kentucky.
So, he's won, what is it, one SEC tournament game and one...
Since 2019.
March Madness game since 2019?
Yes. So, like, the fact that... Arkansas is like, hey, we're putting together this NIL war chest to help John Calipari out. It's like, oh, yeah, so now John Calipari can get good players? Yeah, that was the issue. He just didn't have the talent? Like, what are we... No, yeah, whoever Kentucky hires will, probably be a better coach today than John Calipari is.
Arkansas has been good before.
They've won in 94.
I mean, at least they've won, unlike Texas A&M. Arkansas has been to, if I'm not mistaken, as many Final Fours, now some of these are from way back in the day, as University of Houston. They've been to six, and they were in the Elite Eight in 21 and 22.
I mean, they had a good coach.
So, honestly, I think Calipari's going to do well there.
The thing is, he was at Kentucky, and he was falling short every single year with the best players. Now he's going to go to Arkansas?
It might be better. They do have crazy fans in Arkansas. But it might be better to go to the place with lesser expectations. I mean, UConn has lesser expectations.
That doesn't actually help you. That helps him when he's pushing a stroller with his dog in it. He's not going to get yelled at.
But to what you're saying, though, Sean, I mean, think about the Texas job and all that is involved with being the head coach of football at Texas in addition to being the actual coach and doing the recruiting. I think with Kentucky, it is a very similar comparison because...
Say the same thing about the Alabama head coaching job in football, and they won a title every other year.
Right, and then Nick Saban just walked away because he was sick of it all. I think
because he's 75 years old.
But I think these bigger programs, when you are being asked to do all that, in addition to the NIL stuff, I think it becomes a headache.
Okay, so everyone should go coach at Holy Cross because there's no expectations.
But Arkansas and Holy Cross are totally different. That's disingenuous, you know.
Okay, go coach at Mississippi State then.
Mississippi State is also disingenuous. Arkansas's actually had success in sports before. Like, this is not the same thing.
I guess. But it is like Texas A&M.
All right.
It is like Texas
A&M. Other things, just very quickly. The Oakland A's are moving to Sacramento for the foreseeable future. They will only be the Athletics.
They're going to be called the Athletics.
Like
and they're not going to be the Sacramento Athletics.
We've had Washington football team. Now we just have
Athletics.
which is also, as nicknames go, I mean, it's a terrible nickname.
Forrest Whitley also pitched this weekend, so maybe he's on his way back.
He's back.
He gave up a home run and then got his next three guys out. And I forgot this when we were talking about UConn. Someone tweeted this out. Listen to the statistic. Since 1999, UConn has missed 32% of the NCAA tournaments played. Since 1999, they've also won 24% of the NCAA tournaments.
Dude, it sucks.
So they miss or win.
My group of friends from Syracuse, because UConn is the school that we hate the most. Because when we were in school, UConn-Syracuse games were generally very, very, very good affairs. We are all just so depressed by the continuous lapping that UConn has done of Syracuse. Like, all we have as a school is that the year before Kemba Walker won the national title, we beat UConn in a 6-overtime Big East game. That's literally it. That's the crown achievement.
The 2-3 zone.
Just the 2-3 zone was able to accomplish for all those good teams in college. In addition to many things being overlooked off the court.
You guys are a football school now, all right?
Yeah.
Honestly, with Fran Brown, yes. That's not even a debate anymore.
All right, we're going to have a short segment next. So we're going to talk about hockey. We're going to talk about sex here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Let's go. First, let me tell you about my friends at Highway Cantina. People don't even want you to know about the Highway Cantina. The best $9.75 margaritas you've ever seen. But there's a lot more at the Highway Cantina, which is in East Downtown. We are going to be there next Wednesday, so you can come out and see for yourself. Plenty of TVs to watch the game. Right by all sorts of awesome activities in downtown. The basketball arena, the soccer stadium, the baseball stadium. It's all within walking distance. If you work downtown, hey, it's right there as well. Impress your boss. Take him to the Highway Cantina for lunch. Go there for a happy hour. You don't want to deal with traffic until you've gone to the Highway Cantina and had some of the awesome food that they have there. Wood-fired oysters, mesquite sausage. I swear, the best chicken fajita I've ever had. You know, I normally go beef. There's all sorts of options at the Highway Cantina. It's on St. Emmanuel in downtown. Tell them Paul Gallant sent you.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
All right, Kevin Weeks, he is analyst for ESPN and the NHL Network. He put out a tweet yesterday saying that I'm told that members of the Tillman Fertitta-led Houston group and the Vernon Krause-led Atlanta group are meeting with the NHL in New York City.
I am incensed, Joe, that Atlanta is getting a third crack
at
hockey.
That's crazy.
It's failed twice.
Is the NFL going to do that with Oakland? You're going to try again?
You had the Flames, who moved to Calgary. You had the Thrashers, who... Did they move to Winnipeg?
I believe so.
I don't know why Atlanta's even getting a sniff at this.
No, they don't deserve it. You can't go for a third try. It's not going to... Try something... Like, you're just going to have to move them to somewhere else in Canada in a couple years.
People who went to Arrows games are going to have to tell me how lively an atmosphere that was. I know the Arrows were here as a minor league team for a million years, and a minor league team in hockey to me, a minor league hockey team in Houston to me, it does make sense because there are enough transplants from the north, and there's a lot of people from Michigan that come down here, in addition to all the other places, Boston, etc. I can understand why there would be a market for the minor league side of things. It is the best live watch that there is in sports. If you've never been, even if you don't know anything about hockey, it is fantastic live. But I really wonder about the viability of hockey here. I do know, though, Joe, it's definitely more viable here than you would think in Atlanta, where it is, again, yes, failed twice.
Yeah, they keep failing. Important date to keep in mind here. Once again, for the fourth time, the Arizona Coyotes have proposed another new land area for their arena. They have been denied three times. So I believe it's April 27th is when they will vote. Oh, no, June 27th, I think it is when they will vote again and probably be denied again for this. Once again, making it way more likely that Houston gets a hockey team. Now onto the sex talk. So Tiger Woods is abstaining from sex until after the Masters.
And we know Tiger Woods likes sex.
Yep.
Huge, quickly.
We
know that Tiger Woods likes him some whoopee. You know,
yeah, I
likes a good trip to Pound Town.
I wish it would help him. I just don't feel like it's going to help Tiger.
It is weird.
I feel like he's giving up something for no good reason.
He was having sex when he was winning all the majors.
Yeah, I feel like he's going the opposite direction, right? Shouldn't he be having, if you're Tiger Woods, have more sex win more games?
It's a good point.
Championships.
It's a good point, guys. It's a weird flex as well to be pushed by your people. and maybe. Maybe this is people are trying to get the Masters to have a little hype behind them. Let's be honest, it's not been the best couple of years for golf.
Yeah, because that's what it's like. Yeah, Tiger Woods not having sex makes me want to watch golf.
You're right.
Is this supposed to be a reminder that Tiger Woods will be participating?
Maybe
in
that's
the
what it is.
That is what I mean. Because that is how you get people to watch the Masters, is that you have Tiger Woods out there, and this is a locked-in Tiger Woods. I agree, Sean. It is.
He could just do the Russell Wilson. He's been training 19 hours a day to
yeah.
Like, it doesn't. I guess putting sex in the headline.
Sex sells.
We would not
be talking about this if I did not see that story. Only saw that story because of sex. I don't care about golf.
But does that going to make you watch?
I just care about Tiger's bang game.
Yeah, that's not going to make you watch the Masters, though.
True.
Well, yeah, but this. It's not, but it got us talking about it.
So?
To get other people to watch the Masters.
So? Okay.
I guess.
We are the liberal media. We follow.
Yeah.
We follow the clicks.
Do you think that Tiger Woods is going to be playing golf on Saturday?
No.
Okay.
Wow. He's not having sex, though.
He can't walk.
Well, that would help you walk.
I mean, maybe it'll be better, but I think it was like one of the last times we saw him play golf, it was rainy and gross, and he looked like he was going to lose his leg by like the fifth hole. It was hard. It reminded me of yesterday. It was just hard to watch.
I'm guessing that
Blair
Tiger
Hindley has given up sex until am right.
No, don't do that, Blair.
So he is someone who he was dating somebody from 2017 through 2023, but I think that they split. And there was a really awkward scenario where he basically locked her out of the house.
Oh, yeah, he's being sued for that.
Right. So I don't know who the newest lady du jour is, if she's a Perkins waitress or a Twin Peaks waitress or whatever else is in Jupiter, Florida. Wait, Mugs and Jugs? Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of restaurants in Florida. Someone I used to live there. Mugs and Jugs was my favorite.
I imagine if you did a heat map of the most the Hooters and Perkins.
Well,
and
yeah,
all the
Hooters is from Tampa,
Twin
I believe.
Peaks.
Like, yeah.
I imagine the heat map is just like all.
It's all Florida.
Western Florida.
It's all I think it's just
okay,
all of Florida.
Because
Jupiter, I think, is southeastern Florida. I could be wrong, but I think you guys are just haters. You know, Tiger Woods, he is going to have stronger legs because he's not weakening his legs.
Yeah, he's getting ready.
It is a weird dynamic, too, where you hear athletes talk about this. I remember former Patriot cornerback, NFL Hall of Famer Ty Law, famously would always make sure that he had sex the day before a game. I mean, it worked out. They won Super Bowl 36 because he had a pick six.
And then you have the opposite.
He had his legs on that pick six.
2-1 reminds us that Teddy Atlas did not let his boxers have sex 72 hours before fights. That way their testosterone levels were high.
For boxing, I do feel like it's a little different.
Because you want to kill someone.
Yeah, you want some of the aggression.
You need some pent-up rage.
Yeah.
I guess Tiger does, too, when he needs to hit his driver.
I wouldn't be able to last 72 hours. Listen, we're not talking about necessarily what? 72 hours is a long time. What are you guys looking at?
So Paul's had sex in the last 72 hours.
No. I'm not even talking about that.
I'm talking about sex.
Baby.
You're talking about gross things.
Gross things is very natural. How dare you shame me like that?
Okay.
You're so uncomfortable with this. Why?
No, I'm not.
Natural bodily function.
No, but like I thought you were being serious and saying like you had that great a game. But then
I don't.
Because I was going to make the joke, how did Ty Law always find someone to have sex with? He's an NFL player.
Ask Eugene Robinson. I don't know.
All right. Do the Texans have the number one wide receiver trio in the NFL? CBS seems to think so. Do we agree that's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5?
First, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton. Pendleton whiskey, baby. True Western tradition. Stop laughing, guys. This is good stuff. This is how I unlock my inner cowboy. How I satisfy my inner cowboy. Stop looking at me when I say the word satisfy. You people are animals. I'm not an animal. I'm just a man. Just a man who likes him some Pendleton whiskey. You know why? Because it is so smooth. It is so refreshing. You know what I do, baby? One rock, two fingers. It's so damn good because it's barrel-aged in American oak. It is made with the finest northern grains and cut with Mount Hood Glacier water. You blend it all together and you can satisfy your inner cowboy. Be a cowboy. It's Pendleton whiskey. It's true Western tradition.
ESPN 97.5.